Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
It can elevate a ham sandwich, add a kick to a salad dressing, or spice up a sauce. I'm talking about the condiment mustard. But with English, Dijon, yellow, whole grain and many more varieties on offer, are you a fan of the pungent condiment and how can you get the best out of it? Well, I'm joined now from our Limerick studio by Agnes Boucher-Hayes. Good morning, Agnes.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
Now, we have heard in recent months that there's a lot of disquiet in France because they have a mustard shortage and they love mustard.
They do. And I have to admit, I did actually take to the panic buying of mustard myself.
Did you?
I did over the summer. Somebody I trust very much said to me, there's a mustard shortage now over in France. You'd want to start stocking up. So I did. Of all the things I've panic bought, I think that's probably the most unusual. But yes, it is true. There is a shortage of mustard in France and the French eat an awful lot of mustard. It's the third condiment in their range, like first salt, pepper and then mustard. So they are, you know, they do eat an awful lot of it. People, it's about 1 kg of mustard per annum and per person.
That's a lot.
So it is a lot.
Why has this shortage happened?
It's the same as everything else, unfortunately. You know, global circumstances, the weather. So Canada had a drought and an awful lot of the mustard seeds that are used to produce mustard are produced in Canada, as it happens now. That wasn't always the case. As well as the ones that were produced in France, they had poor weather as well. Very wet winters, very cold springs. And mustard isn't, it doesn't like those particular circumstances. And then finally, when they thought... There was a seed shortage then as well. So then the French thought, well, we can buy some of the seed from the Ukraine and Russia. But unfortunately, that didn't go to plan.
OK, and let's talk a little bit about the seed and the mustard plant itself. How many species of mustard plants are there, Agnes?
There's at least 40, Claire. I'm not a herbologist. I'm not green fingers, but there's at least 40 that I can find. And they are from the they come from the same family as cauliflowers and broccolis. And equally, wasabi would come from that same family as well. But the ones that we most commonly use in the mustards in Europe are the brown seed or the white seed, sometimes a yellow seed. The black seed then is used more in Chinese cookery. And, different types of seeds are used across the globe. But the seeds themselves aren't pungent and don't have that mustard, that hot, fiery taste until they're crushed. So, like, mustard goes back as long as time itself, as far as I can gather. So back to the Stone Age, but, you know, they're widely being produced in China, in Japan, they're used in Iran, Iraq, and then all the way through Roman, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, Stone Age. You know, there's a long history for mustard. But the first time it was seen used in a recipe was in the 13th century by a group of monks in Paris. That was the first time it was seen in a French recipe.
And they were mixing it with what?
They were mixing, well, you can mix it with anything, but what happened, and the word mustard itself comes from the Latin. Now, my Latin isn't great, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But it's coming from the grape must. So it's burning must is what mustard means. And what happens is you grind down the seeds, and then there was this verjus that comes, which is a very fresh white wine, was mixed to it, which was a grape must, essentially. And that's where the name came from.
And then from there, we move on. The various varieties are used, as you said, in the different parts of the world. But then when did it become easily commercially available?
Well, I have to say that it was a hotly contested sport, because the French, to become the mustard maker to the king was quite an honour. And equally, that was the same in the UK, in England. To become the mustard maker to the king or queen was quite a prestigious role. But it became... like most things, the industrial revolution helped when, you know, the commercialization was able to be up, you know, upped the ante. It was the production was able to be increased over time. So really, it was around the 19th century is when Burgundy began to really truly take over. And that's where we come with the Dijon mustard. And the reason that Burgundy took the lead on that was because they used to have a charcoal. So when they'd fell the trees and they'd make the charcoal, then they could plant the area with mustard seeds. And then the mustard seeds were, it was the perfect climate for it, and they would flourish beautifully there.
Dijon mustard, now you mentioned that. That's the nice one.
That's the one that doesn't make you scared.
Exactly. The English mustard, that's a different
scary
kettle
one
of fish.
That's scary. That's
very
quite
sharp.
Very, very sharp. But the Dijon mustard, you know, it's very interesting. The Dijon mustard isn't actually a protected title. So in Europe, within the European law, you can have a protected title, like Burgundy wines, Roquefort cheese, Brie cheese. They have to be champagne. They have to be produced. One part of them, at the very least, has to be produced in the area, whereas Dijon doesn't have that. So what they've done in Dijon is they actually have an appellation controle, which was precedes any of the European legislation that we have. So that means that the mustard has to be produced to a particular standard. However, if you were to create a Dijon-style mustard, you can do that anywhere in the world.
Ah, okay, and get away with it.
You can, yeah.
Barbara has been in touch and she can't get hold of Coleman's mustard powder. And I wanted that last night, actually, for my stew for the seasoning. I find it hard to find, too. Is there a reason for that?
Well, it could be down to the mustard. Well, Coleman's are slightly different. They produce in a slightly different way. So you were wondering about the difference between the Dijon's and the English mustard. It's to do with the type of seed that's used. So the Dijon will usually use the brown seed, but they will use some wine more often than not to make the mustard. Whereas the Coleman's mustard can use some vinegars rather than the wines. And Coleman's, they have a long history and long-standing reputation in the UK as well. But again, the global shortage of seeds, that might be the answer for that. The global shortage of mustard, it might be hitting everybody in their homes and they don't realise it.
I must have a look for it. I actually just forgot to buy it, but it can be tricky to find that mustard powder.
That one doesn't generally, you know, it can be a more artisan product and more, you know, it wouldn't be stocked regularly in all shops throughout. But there are different types of mustards though that you can get. You can get whole grain mustards, you can get honey mustards, you can get mustards with alcohol, like whiskey mustard. There's lots of different varieties, but they all do different things when you are cooking with them.
And honey mustard?
Oh, I love honey mustard.
Do you?
Oh,
yeah, it's quite sweet though, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. But honey mustard, you can buy mustard with honey, but if you were to make honey mustard, it's equal amounts of honey and whole grain mustard put together. And I know I've said this to you before, on Christmas morning, there's nothing better. I know we're not supposed to be talking about Christmas, but sausages or pieces of chicken cut up and, you know, rolled in equal amounts of honey and mustard put into the oven. It's a lovely little appetizer.
Oh, lovely. That sounds really nice.
That is.
The other mustard I wanted to talk to you about is the American style mustard, which is very yellow.
Yeah.
It's a bit more commercial. It's a bit more produced, isn't it?
It's a different type of mustard. Now, the Coleman's mustard, just to you know, inform people, although it uses particular coloured seeds, sometimes the yellow ones, they also get the colour by using turmeric. And that's the same with the American one. But with the American mustard, they would actually, the entomology of that would have come from a salad cream, and then they would have just upped the mustard content, because initially it was known as cream salad mustard. And then in 1904 was when that first made its public appearance at the St. Louis World Trades Fair in 1904. But that is made with vinegar, but also a less piquant seed, and that is widely available. That's up in the top five condiments in America as well.
Yeah, on the hot dogs and the burgers. Yeah.
It's much sweeter, but we can also, in Europe, there are some very sweet mustards as well. In Germany and in Austria and Switzerland, their mustards would be quite sweet relative to what we would have.
So French mustard then, not to be confused with Dijon, French mustard is a different thing again.
French mustard is a different thing, and that was, it's like the custard and creme anglaise, you know, the same thing, but different. So the French mustard was made by Coleman's. They made that popular. And then when, you know, with different moves, the company being bought out by Unilever and Mallet, they actually have gotten rid of French mustard. Coleman's no longer make French mustard, but it was the English that made French mustard.
So, and French mustard is, Just not to confuse it with Dijon, it's a brown...
It's a brown mustard. Sorry, yes, that's a brown mustard. Yeah. It looks quite different to... It looks different. Now, you can't. It's the seed that's... It's the brown seed that's used, but it's actually a much milder flavour as well. So it's quite nice.
Okay, so anyone who wants the sharp one, go for the English mustard.
The English mustard, yeah. And the brown one, you can actually still get... I mean, other companies do make French mustard. Mm-hmm. Like Mali would have a mustard that would be quite similar to it. And they're one of... They're producing mustard for over 275 years.
So fruit mustards, Agnes, what are they?
Mustard fruits, I actually made this recipe once on something I was doing and I thought, this is going to be awful. This thing sounds horrible, but it was fabulous. So I'd advise anybody to try and make them this year. So basically, it's the mustard, the heat of the mustard with a syrup and with dried fruits put together. And it's just a way you can preserve fruits. And now this is a very, very old recipe, and it's quite, you know, it dates back to the, you know, right back in time, back to the 1600s. But it's the recipe I used was a Victorian one, and it was something that appeared regularly on Victorian tables. So you'd have it's using the spices. You see, I suppose there weren't a lot of spices, but mustard was a spice that did become widely available. So this particular recipe would have some sugar, some vinegar, cinnamon, cloves, mustard powder, lemon, cranberries, mixed peel and dried fruits, but any dried fruit that you have available to you. So if you wanted to clear out anything that was in the press or in your larder, you could put it to the mustard fruits and you can make it. It's like a jam. You'll make it, you cook it down and then you bottle it and you leave it sit for a while and the flavour is terrific. And it's beautiful. You can actually use it as a condiment. So you could actually put a little bit of it into stuffing. And then what you could do is, you know, if you were using your, you know, just in meat, if you were using it as a stuffing, mix it in with your stuffing and it will, you know, that will actually, and serve it with ham, or you could just use it as a condiment on the table, like a cranberry sauce, an alternative to a cranberry sauce.
That sounds good. When you started talking about it, I didn't think it sounded good.
And to be quite honest, Claire, the first time I saw it and dealt with it, I didn't think so either. But when I used it, it was lovely.
Does it keep for long once you have it made?
Yeah, because you've bottled it and you've brought the temperature up, and there's quite a lot of sugar in it as well. So you're using all the usual preservation techniques. So once it's opened, then you have to use it, as we've talked about before.
But yeah, it keeps like jam,
but
I suppose.
It keeps like jam, but it's a lovely way to preserve things that, you know, to preserve fruits. And it's lovely to make it this time of year, so it's ready in time for Christmas.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. Agnes Boucher-Hayes with our expert guide to mustard. And that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by Niamh Lyons, research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Ollie Hamilton, and Liam Mullen was on sound. Back with you tomorrow morning at 10. Now though, over to Ronan Collins.